This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we're debunking myths on fats and oils.
Jesus 101 will be with us to share morning devotional. We're going to have a dedicated prayer session and more.
You're invited. Please join us.
Good morning, friends. Thank you for waking up with hope. We're excited to be here with you and spending this wonderful February morning together.
Did you know that it's National Frozen Yogurt Day, and it's a great excuse to get out there and enjoy some Froyo?
Yes.
Wow, I love frozen yogurt.
Oh, I know you do.
It's one of my favorite treats.
We love it. Yeah. You could even make your own.
That sounds good.
You've done that a few times.
Yes, that too.
So simply, you mix some frozen fruit, right, of your choice. What's your favorite?
Oh, I love strawberries,
mango.
Raspberries. I know you love mango.
Frozen mango.
That's good, too.
Yep. So you mix it with your favorite yogurt, you know, including some non-dairy and a little sweetener, maybe a touch of vanilla, and voila, you're all set.
That sounds really great. What a great way to add some fruit to your day. Even your kids will enjoy it.
Talking about things to eat, have you ever wondered if we should eat fats and oils? You've probably heard of contradicting statements on this. Well, this morning, we're going to debunk the myths once and for all, getting down to the facts.
All right.
But first, let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
After a prolonged illness, King George VI of Great Britain and Northern Ireland peacefully passed away in his sleep at the royal estate at Sandringham on this day in history in 1952. Following his death, Princess Elizabeth, the elder of the king's two daughters and the rightful successor, ascended to the throne, being officially crowned Queen Elizabeth II on June 2, 1953, at the age of 27. Queen Elizabeth was prepared as a young girl to be ready to succeed her father. Her entire life, Queen Elizabeth knew she would someday become queen, and thus her entire life was based on this hope. Her present everyday life was lived with the future in view.
We too have a hopeful future to keep in view, God's eternal kingdom. Are we also living our present life with the future in view? Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 encourages us to set our minds on things above, not on things on the earth. May we also live every day with the kingdom in mind, so that when Jesus returns, our faith will be turned into sight.
Amen. Amen. Well, friends, fats or oils? Yes or no? Let's debunk the myths surrounding fats and oils on today's episode of The Incredible Journey.
This is a really confronting topic for many of us. For years, we've been told that fats and oils are bad for us. But now there's new research that says that some fat is necessary for our brains. So to find out the real facts, we're going to ask an expert in nutritional neuroscience, Dr. Delia McCabe. Welcome, Delia. We're touching on a very sensitive topic today. We're dealing with dirty words, fats and oils. Give us the rundown.
Fats and oils have gotten a really bad rap because, let's face it, the researchers who researched them decades ago didn't actually understand them. It's the most complex topic in nutrition, which is why most people are fooled by fats and oils and why there's so many myths around them. The truth is, if you can't make certain fats in your body, and if you don't get another group of very important fats via your diet, you will be deficient in them and your brain will not function optimally. So if you want to feel great, think clearly, be able to focus and concentrate, remember things well, be in a good mood, lose weight and be your perfect weight, sleep really well, have a highly functioning metabolic system, keep your heart functioning well, and have loads of energy, you need the right fats in your diet.
So are there good fats and bad fats?
Yes, we have good fats that are undamaged by light, heat, and oxygen. We have bad fats that are highly processed and come in plastic. If we just remember, avoid the fats that come in plastic and in highly refined and processed foods, we'll be eliminating most of the damaged fats. Then we have good fats in our home that we do not heat, so we don't fry with them. We also don't eat processed fast food either because they're full of damaged fats. We need to respect fats and oils and eat loads of them to be optimally healthy.
Can you give us some examples of a source for good fats?
Well, avocados contain lots of great monounsaturated fats, and so does olive oil. But the fats that the brain craves are very, very sophisticated fats, and we call them omega-3 fats. So we find them in, for example, flax seeds, hemp seeds, and chia seeds. We find some omega-6 in walnuts, and almonds contain quite a lot of monounsaturated fats. But the omega-3 fats are the ones that the brain craves and needs to function optimally, because neurons don't work optimally when they don't have omega-3 fats. And neurotransmitters don't get released from synapses if they don't contain the right fats. So everything in the brain hinges on us having enough of the omega-3s and enough of the omega-6s that are undamaged to be able to develop and function optimally.
Can you give us some example of omega-3s again?
Flax seeds, yes. Hemp seeds, and chia seeds. But interestingly, we have to crush both flax seeds and chia seeds mm-hmm. to get their omega-3s out, because they are protected naturally by nature with a hard covering. And we don't actually get those omega-3s until the seed has been crushed. So we should never crush any of those seeds and leave them exposed to light, heat, or oxygen, because they then get damaged. You see, the bottom line is, Gary, that it's the molecular structure of these fats that make them so potent and so critically important in the brain. The brain is the most energy-hungry organ, and it's also an organ that runs on electricity and chemicals. And these special fats and their specific membrane and molecular structure allows them to do that really important work. The brain is constantly assessing its environment. It's constantly assessing what it needs to do. And if it doesn't have these fats, that electricity and the chemicals, which we call neurochemical impulses, cannot function optimally.
Dearly, we've found out that fats and oils are not necessarily dirty words. Thank you for enlightening us on that.
This morning we have Ronnie Mills joining us as he interviews a special guest. Ronnie, what do you have for us today?
Good morning, Saints, and happy Tuesday. If it's Tuesday, then it's got to be Plan Giving. And joining me this morning to discuss this topic is one of the nation's leading authorities on plan giving and a great friend of Hope Channel, Mr. Dennis Carlson. Dennis, welcome back to Wake Up with Hope.
Well, I'm glad to be here again. Thank you for inviting me.
Is there a specific age at which someone should be more intentional in thinking about plan giving?
It's probably, Ronnie, earlier than most people think. Everyone in the U.S. who is 18 must have a plan for themselves. Their parents' plan no longer works for them. And an estate plan includes a last will and testament, powers of attorney, and an advance directive. When a person is 18, physicians and other medical personnel will not speak to anyone, including their parents, about their medical situation without authorization of a power of attorney and a HIPAA release. Like every other person, young adults are stewards of God's possessions and need a plan to keep God's possessions working for God. By making their plan, they can choose what they want done with their possessions and appoint an agent to make decisions for them if they are incapacitated. I would encourage parents and grandparents to be an example for their young adults by having their plans in place, and suggest to their young adults that they also make a plan.
Thank you, Dennis, for sharing that invaluable information today on Wake Up with Hope. And also, thank you for tuning in today. If you would like more information on plan giving or helping the Ministry of Hope Channel through plan giving, please call 1-888-446-7388. That's 1-888-446-7388. Thanks for your support.
A famous Christian author once said that sincere prayer brings us into connection with the mind of the infinite. You know, prayer connects us to God. Don't you want to be connected? Then let's pray. Let's Pray Team is here today to lead us.
Hello, hello, family. Once again, we have a chance to come together in the name of Jesus to pray for one another. Today, I'd like to pray for family. This is a very large topic, so there's lots of different ways that we can go about this. But I am going to pray and trust that the Lord is going to bring us to where we need to be through the power of prayer and His Holy Spirit. Family can bring joy and of concern at times. Family can be our greatest encouragement, and unfortunately, it can be some of our greatest pain. So I'm trusting that Jesus will help us as we pray together today. Let's pray. Lord, there's so much, and I don't know, maybe the community can tell that I'm processing so many different things in this topic of family. Lord, I know that there are those who are desiring healing in their family, for their family, Father. There are those in our community who just want a family. Those, Lord, who are experiencing family by adoption and fostering. Heavenly Father, those that are missing family, that they have lost, that are resting. Heavenly Father, we also can think about those that need your salvation, those that we hope will accept your gift today, Father. And I believe, Lord, that as many faces and families are represented here today within the sound of my voice, Lord, that many different scenarios exist. But there is one thing I know, that you love us, that you see us, and you know our heart's desires, you know our heart's cries for our families, because of our families, Heavenly Father. So Lord, I'm praying for restoration in our homes and our families in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm praying for those hoping to have children or who are feeling orphaned and alone right now in this moment, who desire to be connected to family, Father. I thank you that your word says that though my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. And Father, I feel like I could pray for the rest of the day, because there's so many options, so many things, so many stories when it comes to family, but there is one King. There is one hope. And Heavenly Father, you are it. So whatever the circumstances are, whatever our hope for salvation or sobriety or restoration or fruitfulness that might be happening in our daily lives regarding family, Father, we lean on the one true King, the Father of all fathers, the nurturer, our best friend. We lean on you, Jesus, because we need you. We need you in the place of our ache and our hope and our life concerning our families, Jesus. We want to pray for our children, our grandchildren, brothers and sisters, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, and even our little family pets, Father, that we really do consider as part of our family, Jesus. All of the different facets, Lord, I thank you that you're the example, that you've always been in community, Father, that you teach us how to love one another well. You teach us how to be gracious and merciful and forgiving. Because, Lord, we need you and your forgiveness and your hope. So, Jesus, according to your word and your promises, Lord, we ask that your plan for our families would come to fullness in the name of Jesus, that you would bind the enemy and his emissaries and keep them at bay in the name of Jesus, Father, and that you would loose your restoration and your healing and your life and your salvation over our lives and our loved ones and our families and our hopes. Lord, there's just none like you. And I thank you, Father, that you see each scenario and hope and child and family picture, Lord. And you know the ache and you know the joy. And Father, we just lift them to you. We ask you to have your way. Minister, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit to our families. Thank you, Father, for love and life and family. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Family, I pray that you are encouraged and that the Lord continues to let you know that He sees you and He hears you and your prayers over your family. In the name of Jesus.
We hope you're finding our program worthwhile this morning. Don't forget to share us with a friend and visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup for more.
And check us out on YouTube. Search for Wake Up with Hope and subscribe to our channel and keep up with us.
When we return, Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 joins us for today's devotional thought. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. We're so happy you're with us.
It is now time for a devotional thought from Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101.
We continue with our series on David's life, After God's Heart. We have entitled it. And today we are going to talk about a very known passage that David wrote. As a matter of fact, a psalm. You know, I got really close to my father because he was whispering. He was in his deathbed, and I got really close, and I could hear the whisper, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And he went on from beginning to end, the whole psalm. He didn't have strength to say it aloud. He was whispering it, but he remembered all the words, and he passed away a few hours after that. What is it about this psalm that helps us in moments of difficulty, loneliness, anxiety, sickness? A few days after we had his memorial service, and I preached for that memorial service, and I entitled it Rest Assured. Put a big sign on the cross that was on the platform of the church, and this was the title, the homily. The whole homily was about Psalm 23, because I found some insights in this psalm that helped me mourn both of my parents that I lost in such a short time. There's a lot of things in this psalm that remind us why is it that we feel so nurtured when we think that God is our shepherd and we are His sheep. So we're going to go there today. And before we start, I want to tell you a little bit about sheep. You know, David had been a shepherd, so he knew exactly how sheep were dependent on the shepherd. And God took him from being a shepherd of sheep to being a shepherd of God's people as a king of Israel. But he knew a lot of things about sheep, and he places himself as God's sheep. And I found out a few things about sheep that I didn't know before. For example, that they need to drink water in still waters, because if not, the wool absorbs the water and they get heavy and they drown. I also found out that sheep get stressed out when there's tension in the flock or there's mosquitoes. They can't sleep. They have insomnia like us. And so I am in our book, page 63. Over the years, I have collected some information about sheep because they are a commonly used scriptural metaphor for describing the people of God. We're called the sheep all the time in the Bible. In doing so, I have learned that in general, sheep are very helpless animals. They can't find food or water by themselves. They need constant protection from predators. They would easily drown if they tried to drink in deep water, and they can't rest if there are problems like tensions in the flock or bugs that bother them. Sheep are absolutely and completely dependent on the shepherd to provide everything for them, including a peaceful and quiet place, green pastures, restful waters, and everything else. The sheep don't know where they are or where they're going. They just need to follow their shepherd. They sound just like us, doesn't it? And David himself, a shepherd, proclaims that the Lord is his shepherd, and his own survival depends on the presence of his shepherd. So let's study this psalm, and hopefully it will bring you nurturing today. Psalm 23 starts with a very interesting word. Yahweh is my shepherd. Not just any name for God. David could have used any name. He uses the name that God revealed to Moses, the great I am. That's the name. Yahweh is my shepherd, says the Hebrew. And therefore I shall not want. And then he goes on to say how God fulfills all of our needs. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Remember that the sheep cannot find the still waters by themselves. They don't have that instinct. They don't find the food by themselves. And they can't rest by themselves when they are in tension. So he does all of this for them. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And he restores my soul. He doesn't just give me all the things I need for eating and drinking and resting. He also gives me restoration. You know, shepherds used to carry an oil that they would put in the wounds of the sheep. Yahweh, the great I Am, who opened the Red Sea, who rained bread from heaven for the Israelites, who got water out of a rock, is the one who restores my soul. This is the great I Am. And he also guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Because I'm his sheep and it's his name on the line. It's interesting because until this point, David talks about Yahweh, the great I Am, as the shepherd in third person. He does this for me. He does that for me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's a report about his shepherd. But when he imagines himself in difficulty, in a crisis, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He switches from the third person to the second person singular and starts talking to God. His report becomes a prayer because crisis does that. Crisis makes us go from talking about God to talking to God because that's all we have at that moment. The only antidote to fear is you are with me, the presence of the shepherd with us. And then once he realizes that God is with him in the crisis, he starts seeing visualizations of abundance. You prepare a table for me before my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. And I got to tell you about this. Lately, some scholars have found out what this means. There was a custom at the time that if a sovereign lord or a king invited somebody to dine with them, they always kept the cup full, which meant you're welcome to stay. But if at some point the cup got empty, it was time to go. But some kings and sovereign lords, when they really liked a guest, they made the cup overflows all over the table so the guests would know that they were so welcome in their presence. And David says, I am so welcome in his presence that my cup overflows. And then he says, surely I have two companions, goodness and loving kindness or mercy will follow me. And the Hebrew is much stronger than follow, is will pursue me, will chase after me all the days of my life. You have two companions, and so do your children and your grandchildren. If they have taken a dark detour, here come the two goodness and mercy companions. Taran, taran, taran. I imagine them on horses, looking for people, pursuing them, chasing after them to bring them back. And then he says, I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever because Yahweh is my shepherd. Well, you know, this is the context for what Jesus said in John 10. He said, I am the good shepherd. And how will you know that he's the good one? Well, chapter 10, verse 11 of John says, the Greek says, I am the shepherd, the good one. And the shepherd, the good one, lays down his life for the sheep. Sometimes you want to understand what God allows in your life. But when you look at the cross that he laid down his life for you, that's when you will know that he is the shepherd, the good one. And not only that, he will give you assurance. Look at verse 28. I give eternal life to them and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. I love this visualization that I am a sheep in his arms. And he provides everything I need. He nurtures me. And I know he is the shepherd, the good one, because he died for me. But on top of that, nothing and nobody will be able to snatch me out of his hand. That's the assurance of salvation. I hope you appropriate this psalm for you today, for yourself. In moments of difficulty, remember you have a shepherd.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
And friends, thank you for spending this time with us. And if you'd like to learn more about us or share us with a friend, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to wake up with us tomorrow morning. We'll have music and John Bradshaw will have the devotional thought for us. Plus, the healthy foodie will be back and in the kitchen with a recipe for chocolate mousse pie.
Yes.
We'll also have a special health feature on carbs and so much more. So don't miss us.
And don't forget to like our official Wake Up With Hope Facebook page. And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more about God's amazing purpose for your life, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study to claim your free Bible study guides. Check out the website as well. We are sure you'll find something for you.
Yes, and before we go, we want to leave you with the Bible promise. It says,
worship the Lord your God, and His blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from you. That's found in Exodus 23, verse 25.
Wow, what a faithful promise. You know, worship God, and He will take care of you. He's our provider. He's our protector, sustainer, and He's the God of the universe, and He will not fail you. You know, we've enjoyed our time with you this morning, and we can't wait to see you tomorrow. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much, Lord. Today has been such a deep, rich blessing. And we want to take that promise to heart. Some of our viewers today may be sick. I pray, Lord, that you would draw near to them in a special way. Please, Lord, put your healing hands upon them. Heal them. Take away their pain. And I pray, Lord, that they would be able to recover soon. And for us who are healthy and going strong, Lord, keep us that way. We want to be faithful to you, Lord, and always trust you no matter what. In Jesus' name, amen.